Good evening. And once again, we're ending the end of this semester with this book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. We can never cover the whole book. We never know how the Spirit is going to flow. I want to encourage you to read the entire book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy by Apostle Jonathan David. And as always, I'm always thankful for the leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. and to the royal family. This is one of the greatest privileges of my life, to be able to teach in the School of Ministry to help train and equip the next generation for service. So tonight we're going to go into chapter number 12, which talks about the gift of the discerning of spirits. That's in your book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. Chapter number 12. I want to say this. Apostle have been saying this for some time now. But he says, if we're going to build accurately in the spirit, we must know how to function in the gift of the discerning of spirits. I think the most important thing you will learn today is what the gift of the discerning of spirits is not. Because there are a lot of critical people out here. So we must use this gift properly. Let's begin. Everything within the realm of knowing, whether it be a past, present, or future, fact, events, purpose, motives, even destiny, are of a spiritual origin, all come under and within the range of the three revelational gifts. There's nothing that God knows that could not be made known to man if the Holy Spirit wills through the avenues of one or more of the three revelation gifts. Now, y'all know the three revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Go ahead. The discerning of spirits completes the group of the revelation gifts. Now, here's a definition of the gifts of the discerning of spirits. It is the supernatural enablement to identify the nature and the character of spirits that are seen or spirits that are unseen. The discerning of spirits gives us insight into the spirit world or the spirit realm from which we came from. The discerning of spirits is different from the two other revelational gifts in that it is entirely supernatural. Both the objects revealed and their operations are entirely supernatural. Now, what the discerning of spirits is not, it is not the ability to see faults in another person. It is not a spirit of suspicion, and it is not psychological insight. It is not mental penetration, or the power to discern the faults in others. It is not reading a person's mind. The gifts of the discerning of spirits is not the discerning of one's character or people. It is not the discerning of spirits. It's not associated with spirit phenomena or demonic spirits, which impersonate the voices of the dead. And the discerning of spirits is not the ability of discernment found in Hebrews chapter number 5, verses 12 through 14. This ability is an acquired skill that is developed through practice and their spiritual senses have been trained to discern good and evil. Now, that's talking about Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. You can have your senses exercised so that you can discern both good and evil. That's training. But the discerning of spirits is supernatural, and it's solely dependent upon as the Spirit will. Go ahead. Foundations for operating in the gift of the discerning of spirits. Number one, the need to develop spiritual sensitivity. Our spirits must be trained to respond to the Holy Spirit leading and moving. One of the best ways to develop our sensitivity is to build up our spirits by ministering to the Lord. A strong spirit is necessary for spiritual advancement. We must learn to discern the voice of God within our hearts. This ability will help us to become acquainted with the inner workings and the inner dealings of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we must or we should create an atmosphere of praise and thanksgiving over our lives, as this helps to keep us, our spirits, healthy and wholesome. Number two, the ability to discern the voice of God within a believer. We need to be able to hear God's voice distinctively if we're going to deal in the spirit world or in the realm of the spirit. We need to be able to distinguish, watch this, God's voice from all other voices. His sheep will not hear the voice of a stranger, St. John 10, 3 through 5. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Now here it is, because they know or they become intimately acquainted with his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from a stranger, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. If we're going to follow God accurately, we must discern and understand his voice. I say to a believer, the most important thing to us is to hear God's voice and to obey God's voice. Because hearing and obeying and patiently enduring is the process of faith that is required to please God. You cannot follow God without, number one, hearing his voice. If you hear the voice of God, it does you no good if you don't obey his voice. And hearing and obeying always puts you in a position that you have to patiently endure the things that God designed when he gave you instruction. Because instruction is going to bring you through things to get you to the promise. Go ahead. One of the first places we learn to hear God's voice is within our own hearts. The importance of walking under spiritual authority and covering. The devil loves to target those who are not properly covered or have their head uncovered. What does that mean, to not be properly covered or to have your head uncovered? Well, that means you are not properly submitted to authority. That is one of the major problems in this 21st century. People want to be in authority, but they're not under authority. And in the kingdom of God, you cannot be in authority until you are first under authority. And here's great faith. Great faith is not a quantity of faith. Great faith is understanding authority and how it works in God's kingdom. Go ahead. Spiritual covering operates when a believer submits himself to the person, ministry, and message of the leader of the church, breaking his relationship, not flowing with the leader's ministry, and disobeying his message can make the believer vulnerable to demonic or satanic attacks and influences. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 10 tells us that demonic spirits are looking to attack those believers who do not have a symbol of authority over them. Thoughts on spiritual covering. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that had so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Covering is supernatural, and covering is spiritual. It is a spirit covering. It's not a religious or a covering that comes from religious affiliation. See, you can be part of a religious affiliation, but you're not subject to the authority that's in that affiliation. Covering is only provided by a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a what? Headship ministry. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Not only do they make up the Lord Jesus, they also make up God. Because we learn, let every soul be subject to the higher power. And there are no powers or no authority that be except they are ordained of God. That's Romans chapter 13. Read it when you get a minute. Go ahead. Covering is based upon relationship. It is a direct byproduct of our response and commitment to the leadership we are in covenant with. We need to relate to those who are bonded to us in the spirit. Covering is provided through the local church and its ministry. Only those ministries linked and submitting to the head can provide adequate covering. Covering is a binding agreement on both parties' part. Spiritual accountability is required, and any decision made can influence and affect both parties. Thus, covering is only provided through covenant relationships and mutual, here's a key word, trust. You cannot submit to somebody. You cannot be covered by somebody you really don't trust. Go ahead. Covering can only be fully provided through a matured leader. A husband may be the head, but he may not be spiritually covered. He may not be spiritually covering his wife until he himself is submitted to Christ as his head. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Let's read the first couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 11. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So he starts off with himself as the apostle. He say, only follow me as you see me follow Christ. What does that mean? That means if I'm not submitted to the authority of Christ, who is the head of the church, then I don't qualify for you to follow me. Follow me only as I follow Christ. Don't follow me so close that if I quit following Christ, you still follow me. Christ must always be the center and the head of our lives. Go ahead. No. Why you stop reading? Are you teaching this class? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. The next verse. Now I praise you, brother, that you remember me in all things. Now watch this. And keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. But here's what you need to understand. The Apostle Paul did not deliver something that he didn't first receive from the head of the church. Go ahead. Now here it comes. Paul said, but I will have you to know. Notice this, that the head of every man is Christ. Now, what's important about that statement is we know that Christ is the head of every man legally from God's perspective. Because everything that God wanted to do on the behalf of man and for man and through man, he did it in the person of Christ. You have to realize that Christ, are you listening? Was the word that was made flesh. God became a man. He's the incarnate word. So head means not only authority, but it also means the example that every man should follow. How many men? Every man should what? Follow. A man is not qualified to lead if he can't follow Christ. Go ahead. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. That's because the scriptures teach that a woman's hair is her covering, but more than that, a woman's real covering is man, her husband. And when you're in Christ, it must be rooted in the man and the woman being united in one unto Christ. Okay, let's go on with the lesson. The above foundation are necessary ingredients that will provide to us a solid base for the operation of the gift of the discerning of spirits. Learning to minister in the gift of the discerning of spirits. We receive the Holy Spirit's impression, our inner witness in our heart. This spirit message is received directly into our spirits. There are many ways the message could come into our hearts and minds. One, impression. Two, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Three, visions. Four, the inner voice or the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. And number five, the inner voice of the recreated human spirit by the Holy Spirit that dwells within it. Number two, the message is always spirit related when we're talking about the gifts of the discerning of spirits. It revolves around the four realms of spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, angelic spirits, demonic spirits, and human spirits. The message relates to these four realms of the spirit, their manifestation and presence is made known to the conscious mind through the operation of the discerning of spirits. We must know what to do with these revealed facts. When the source of the manifestation is revealed to us, we can take the appropriate action either to respond to or resist that manifestation. Not every supernatural manifestation is from God. Y'all heard that? Not every supernatural manifestation is from who? God. We need to detect the source of manifestation before we respond to it. Interestingly, not only the work of confirmation is done within our spirits, but the response or the reaction is almost automatic from our spirit also. The ability to know what to do with facts and how to respond comes intuitively or through the intuition of the Holy Ghost. See, we can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit, watch this, revealing. See, the Holy Spirit reveals, he unfolds, he illuminates, he gives insight. As a matter of fact, God does no searching of our hearts without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit searches us. A lot of times we say, search me, O Lord. God said, no problem. I'm going to search you with two things, the Holy Spirit and my word, because my word going to try you. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead. Sometimes a vision is given by the Holy Spirit to help us to see into the spirit world. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha the prophet prayed and said, Lord, I pray you, open up Gehazi's eyes that he may see. Now, if y'all read the complete passage, you will understand that the king of Syria thought he had a spy in the camp. because Elisha, the prophet, was revealing to Israel all of his secrets of how he was going to attack them in war. And finally, they say, okay, we got to do something about this prophet who is revealing all our secrets. So a whole host of them gathered and surrounded the place where Elisha and Gehazi was. And Gehazi got up and went out and looked and was fearful. But the prophet got up, went, took a look out, looked around, and said to Gehazi, what are you so fearful for? There be more with us than with them. Now, you know, if you're in the natural, Gehazi say one, two, and there's about 20,000 out there. What's wrong with the prophet? Well, the prophet was seeing, you ready, in another realm. So the prophet prayed for his servant that he may see in the sound into the realm that he was seeing. So, here it goes. Knowing is seeing in the realm of the Spirit. Go ahead. The Holy Spirit helps us envision. The Holy Spirit gives us a vision of what is taking place in the world of the Spirit or the spirit world. And he also gives us the insight in what to do concerning such revelation. So you know what that say? When God allow you to see into the spirit world, don't run off with what you think. Wait for further instruction as to what do I do with this vision. Go ahead. Scriptural purposes for this gift. Some of the scriptural purposes of this gift are as follows. Number one, to identify the nature, character, and source of the supernatural manifestation. Number two, to discern and to test, to detect and to distinguish the spirit in manifestation. And number three, to discern an evil influence or spirit in the human heart. Examples are in the case of Gehazi in 2 and Ananias in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. The discerning of spirits gives us insight into the spirit world. It actually has a more limited range than the other two revelational gifts because it is limited to a single class of objects or spirits. Discerning the similitude of God. God allowed or he let Moses to look into the realm of the spirit or into the realm of spirits. Exodus chapter 33. Verses 20 through 23. This is an example of Moses seeing into the realm of the spirit. He was able to see the similitude or the likeness of God. All through the word of God, we encounter people who envision have been able to see the similitude of God. They didn't see God, but a likeness of God. Discerning the risen Christ through the discerning of spirits or seeing into the realm of the spirit, one may even discern the risen Christ. No one has actually seen him physically since his ascension. But through this supernatural gift of the discerning of spirits, people have sometimes been able to see into the spirit realm and see Jesus, discerning the Holy Spirit. Scripture reference, Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. This again is the Apostle John in his vision on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw the Holy Spirit as seven spirits before the throne of God. That simply meant that John was seeing into the realm of the Spirit, and he was seeing seven aspects of the Spirit of God. All such visions would be a manifestation of the gift of the discerning of spirits. A vision may bring with it a word of wisdom and or a word of knowledge, but the vision itself would be the gift of the discerning of spirits and operation, because that person would at that time be seeing into the spirit world. The gift of the discerning of spirits also reveals the kind of spirit that is behind a supernatural manifestation, whether it's evil or good. Scripture reference, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. Caution. The gift of the discerning of spirits is a must requirement for all who move in prayer and in intercession. We cannot be engaged in spiritual warfare without first identifying the enemy. We can only bind on earth what has been bound in heaven, and we can only loose on earth what has already been loosed in heaven. Matthew 16, chapter number 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. We must be able to penetrate the spirit world before we can influence the natural world. Our perception of the spirit world determines the type of results we get and the type of strategies we would employ in spiritual warfare. Number two, the second word of caution is for those who minister in the area of deliverance. We need to be functioning in the gift of the discerning of spirits if we're going to successfully deal with the satanic kingdom. The devil is a liar from the beginning. And the third word of caution is for those who rather minister inner healing. We need to be functioning in revelation gifts if we're going to deal with a person's past and reconstruct his present life and help to chart the course of his future destiny. Our final exams for this semester is next week. Certainly, it's been a pleasure sharing with you this book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy. Be sure to take the time to go back through these lessons and avail yourself to that book. Enjoy the rest of your time here.